It's always a delight to be with Farm Foundation and get a chance to talk about conservation. But before you get in conservation, we've got to put it into context. And I think the context of what we're up against, both for production, agriculture, and conservation, I think was well said by Dan Glickman, former Secretary of Agriculture, at the kickoff for AGRI, where he said that the world's farmers and ranchers and fishers will be expected to produce more food in the next 40 years than we've had to in the last 8,000 years combined. That's a rather daunting task. And to put this in perspective, let's look at the numbers. The UN's global population projections. We were at about just a hair under 7 billion in 2010. We're at about 7 billion people today. We're supposed to be at 8.42 billion in 2030. Everybody talks about how do you feed 9 billion souls on this planet. But the item that to me is startling that folks don't look at is what's happening with the middle class. This is exciting for population growth. It's exciting for world prosperity in that there's a growing middle class. And you're going from 1.85 billion in 2010 to 4.89 billion in 2030. This means that roughly in the same time period that we're going to see a 2 billion person increase on the planet, we're also seeing a 2 billion person increase in the middle class. This is an exciting news for prosperity, but it's also a daunting task for how you feed those appetites, because that middle class basically wants to live the way you and I do in the United States. It means more cell phones, more telephones, more cars, more food, especially more livestock. That has an impact on the planet. And that impact, I think, is best attributed to sustainable intensification. Many times people talk about this in the context of small landholders in Africa, but it's occurring in the United States as well. It's about producing more on the very best land, and it's driven mostly by the marketplace and individual decisions, not by government fiat on what's going on. Now, sustainable intensification last generation, my father and my first probably two decades of farming, was all about genetic, mechanical, and labor. We added tillage width on those things. I remember when the Knight boys were getting a little big for their britches in Gan Valley, South Dakota, when we brought home a 16-foot chisel plow. Now that plow is sitting in the tree grove. And our next generation, we're farming by the inch versus the acre, and it's about maximizing water use, fuel efficiency, nutrients, sunlight, and space. And all of these attributes apply just as equally to livestock as they do to crops. But the drivers that are out there are the demand for food, feed, fuel, and fiber. And the policy impacts are somewhat secondary, but they are farm programs, trade policy, research, crop insurance, and conservation. And as usual, the farm bill is probably not fully attuned to how you get at that. To give you an idea of what we're up against as it pertains to sustainable intensification, it helps to recognize how many acres we're farming out there. 95 million acres this year of corn, 76 million acres of beans, 56 million acres of wheat, 27 million acres of CRP. What CRP on the list of acreage? Well, it's important to keep in mind that that CRP acreage is larger than the next three crops combined. 10 million acres of cotton, 8 million acres of sorghum, 2.5 million acres of rice. And so this is about how do we start putting this in perspective as we enter into the Farm Bill dialogue. So to know where we are at in the Farm Bill, and we're hopefully at the closing stages of the Farm Bill conference, I still remain optimistic about this, helps to know where we've been. We wrote the 1985 Farm Bill in the midst of a farm crisis. 1990 Farm Bill, we're still in a recovery mode. In the 95-96 Farm Bill, I still don't know which year to call it, Charlie, strong prices and freedom to farm was a result, much like the context that we're seeing this. 2002, strong budget, new programs, new dollars. 2008 was more of the same. In 2013, we're writing this bill in a time of fiscal austerity and of partisanship. But it's important to remember, Congress tends to write these bills looking in the rearview mirror as opposed to looking perspective. And this is the biggest challenge that we're facing in agriculture and that we're facing in conservation as we move forward. So what's the lay of the land today? Both the Senate bill and the House bill, as we're in conference, reduce funding over the next 10 years and consolidate the conservation programs. Senate bill, about a $3.5 billion reduction in mandatory funding. House bill, a $4.8 billion reduction in mandatory funding. This is ignoring the SNAP discussions that are out there. Conservation Reserve Program, that's going to be lowered, and you're looking at a cap of going down to about 25 million acres in the Senate, 24 million acres in the House. The big fix-it program, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program that I used to administer, reduces funding by almost $1 billion over the next 10 years. The House includes no reduction in funding. Conservation Stewardship Program, the program that's really oriented towards management, reduces the enrollment caps of that are currently about 12.8 million acres annually, to 10.3 in the Senate, 8.7 in the House. Remember I mentioned that these programs also are consolidating things. And so as they've consolidated programs, like a phoenix, they're creating new things out of the ashes of those things. So there's a new agriculture easement program that will consolidate the Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program, the WRP program, the Grasslands Reserve Program. There's a regional conservation partnership program that will do the old agriculture water enhancement program, the Chesapeake Bay Watershed, the CCPI, and the Great Lakes Basin. That's some of the consolidation. So where are we at right now? Many of these issues, the differences between the House and Senate are not that large. Largest difference that's out there is about whether or not to link conservation compliance to the Farm Bill. And I'm going to leave that to other panelists. But it is a significant impact. The other thing that is important to keep in mind is that compliance is linked to shallow loss and marketing loans in both of those bills. So in conclusion, the conservation program consolidation will be very positive. I used to administer these things when I was chief of NRCS. We were confusing folks. Too many programs, too much clutter. Need to make them streamlined, administratively, simple to deliver, and understandable for the farm and ranch community. Conservation groups, in my perspective, are largely resigned to the budget reductions that we're looking at in the farm programs, and that makes much of the conservation title rather uncontroversial, with the exception of conservation compliance. And that linkage to crop insurance is vitally important, I believe, long-term, and we'll talk about this more later, but vitally important long-term for being able to defend both crop insurance and farm programs and conservation benefits, and that will turn out to be a long-term positive if it is included in the Farm Bill. The final thing is, it's time to get the Farm Bill done. Time to get it out of conference and get about implementation. Because already we're in 2014, earlier this week, NRCS announced sign up for the Conservation Security Program. Sign up's already going on EQIP, and it's time to roll these out and roll these programs forward.